Listen, church, let me ask you a question this morning. As a Christian, have you ever wondered about the image of God the Father? Most Christians know who Jesus is. I mean, most of us have a mental picture of what Jesus is. A whole bunch of us have pictures of what Jesus looks like hanging on our walls, or we've seen images in movies. And even though the Holy Spirit is a spirit that we don't have images of, we associate pictures with the Spirit because we're given definitive descriptions of the Spirit, like he's a teacher, he's an advocate, he's a counselor, and he's a partner. But when you think about God the Father, what image comes into your mind? Now, believe it or not, this is not a unique question for humanity. In fact, we have seen an account in Scripture where folks were curious about God. And while they had statues depicted of images of all types of other gods, the altar of the unknown God was empty of any image or design. Now, this passage of Scriptures I'm referring to is recorded in Acts chapter 17. And within that chapter, the Bible says Paul stands among a group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers as well as Athenians, and he describes to them the attributes and characteristics of the unknown God that they were seeking to worship. The Bible says he proclaims to them, and I quote, "He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he does not live in man-made temples, and human hands cannot serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth, and he decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries." End of quote. Now, these scriptures conclude with the story about Jesus and his resurrection. And what Paul describes within these verses are depictions of the mystery and majesty of God the Father. But visually, God from these verses, visualizing God from these verses, at least for me, is very challenging. I mean, while I understand that God speaks life and creation into existence, while I understand that God extends forgiveness and resurrection, while I understand that God is not restricted by time, these concepts of God do not help me to envision a picture of God's intimate personal traits. So, I thought this Father's Day, it would be encouraging for us to be reminded about the attributes and character traits of our Heavenly Father amidst this scary reality we are experiencing. And to do this, I would like for us to read a common story found in the Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And Dave, will you put them on the screen for us, please? Join with me, friends, as I read these words. Verse 11 begins saying, "And he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they begin to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and he had came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. And his father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. It's our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church, at the end of every scriptural reading, to conclude it with saying, this is the word of God for the people of God, and everyone responds, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? God, as we look at your scripture today, I ask, Lord, that we not get lost in all of the characters of the story, but we concentrate solely and completely on the Father. May the Spirit speak to each of our hearts and our minds and our souls this morning. As we expound upon your word, we give you all glory, honor, and praise for your goodness and your mercy. And in Jesus' name I pray. If we go back to our original question, which was, when you think of God, what image do you see? These verses that we just read help me see God differently than how I perceived him when I was younger. You know, most of my young life and my young adult life, I saw God as an authoritative figure sitting far away in heaven, removed from the present realities that made up my little world. And while I know God has complete reign and authority over all creation, my image of him as authoritative was a person that was ready to catch me doing something wrong so he could admonish and punish me unmercifully. Now, I know the Bible tells us to fear the Lord, but my image of God was an unhealthy fear that created an image of God that was unloving, unnurturing, unkind, and unpredictable. But if we listened to the reading from the Gospel of Luke, we see a picture of a father who is very much different. And what makes this parable so intriguing is the ability to resonate with our life experiences. But the focal point for us this morning is not the wayward son who returns or the older brother who is living in contempt. Rather, our focus this morning is on the Father, whom Jesus is using to make the point about a relationship with God. Now, I do think it is important to highlight that our relationship with God will always be impacted by the way in which we view God as our Heavenly Father. I mean, we see this truth by the response of the two brothers. I want us to remember that when we think of God, our image should be of a person who is loving, a person who is patient, selfless, gracious, generous, compassionate, and accepting. A person who is excited about making things new from within and without. The story also reveals that God is a respecter of no persons. Whether you're a lifelong saint or have possessed the vilest of the vile kind of heart, God's desire for our relationships with Him are to be intimate and personal. We see this truth by the kiss and gifts that were given to the returning son and the depiction of the father leaving the celebration to invite the older brother to join. The father's outstretched arms to both remind us that our God is always inviting us to be in a place where joy and hope will trump guilt, shame, anger, and insecurity. Likewise, even in our stubbornness, God the Father is present, inviting you and I to let go of the things that we harbor that are denying ourselves of the richness of God's benefits and mercies. Our current struggles due to the pandemic, the struggles over social injustice and the economic depression have not altered the person of God the Father. Our God is still inviting each of us to be present within God's inner space, to be as close as you and I desire. Nothing we encounter of the heart is void of the presence, empathy, patience, and promise of God. Our current situations cannot rob us of the personal relationship we have with God the Father. This relationship is defined throughout all of Holy Scripture with intentional metaphors that we can still hold on to today. For example, with God being described in paternal language, this defines the person of God as a defender, a protector, a provider, one of strength and power to lead and to guide. Yet there are other passages of Scriptures, very few, who refer to God in maternal language, depicting God as nurturing, caring, and tender. Both are revealing to us the all-encompassing character and qualities of our God to give us an image of the perfect person of I hope our sermon time has helped each of us to catch a fresh new image of God. But I would be remiss this morning, friends, if I didn't share that our relationship with God does not void us of the human experience. I mean, just last week, I was traveling home to visit and to retrieve a motorcycle that was my dad's. And as I ventured out on my journey, I borrowed a trailer from a church member and attached it to one of my prized possessions, an 85 model GMC truck. 45 minutes into this 3+ hour journey, the truck dies coming down a hill, leaving me with no power steering and limited brakes on a curvy roadway with no shoulder. As I approached a driveway, I was able to slide my way in to that driveway, thankful that their gates were open and not closed, or I would have crashed through them. Now, once I made the calls I needed for help, I sat for over 2.5 hours waiting for my rescuers. There were probably several hundred cars that passed me on Highway 65, and only one couple stopped to see if they could be of any assistance. You see, my relationship with God did not shelter me from a miserable, frustrating experience. My relationship with God did not keep me from sitting in the baking sun, sweating and thirsting for a cool drink of water. My relationship with God did not change the circumstance with which I was experiencing. But my relationship with God did allow my reaction to be one of thanks instead of despair and anger. You see, the place of business that I drove into was closed. And yet, even though there was nobody there, God allowed for those gates to be open. And even though I had no power for the vehicle in a place where there was no shoulder and only ditches and drop-offs due to the hilly terrain, God allowed for the one place of refuge to be before me. And when I was beginning to question humanity and the lack of charity in people's hearts, God had a couple that I watched drive past turn around and extend a helping hand. You know, when I think of God the Father, I see an image of one who is caring, who is kind, who is compassionate, who is loving, who is faithful, who is giving, who is merciful, who is good, who is ever-present, who is gracious, who is providing and protecting. Friends, God is the one who made the earth, and God is the one who made us. And God is the one who is in charge. So I hope that when you think of God the Father, you will see from His character and qualities that we do not have to be afraid for our lives. God made all of us, and He knows our needs. He speaks to us and with us. And most of all, our lives matter to God, and they're always in God's hands. So may all who are watching this morning find hope and comfort on this Father's Day, knowing that we have a Heavenly Father who is watching over us. I offer this to you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.